Well, thank you, gentlemen. Great to have the NRH and Cross Church team with us today. Danny Kuntz has got socks on, and I'm proud of him, a New Orleans grad. I'm not so sure that we need to let the New Orleans Seminary guys in, but we're grateful nonetheless. And so, if you've got a Bible, turn with me to Psalm 118. Faculty, we're glad to be with you today. Thank you for your presence with us and your tireless effort to educate students in the days to come. We are grateful for you. Many of you don't know the influence you'll have, but grateful to be for men like Roy Fish, Malcolm McDowell, Dr. Crawford, others who were instrumental in my life days gone by. So thank you, men. Thank you, ladies, for your work. Students, we're grateful you're here today. I know this is the last day of a semester. You feel like you've slogged through a marathon. And so we're grateful for your presence as well today. Grateful to have some of our church family from North Richland Hills and Cross Church with us. I don't know if whether you guys believe in purgatory or not, having more punishment coming to hear your pastor when you didn't have to, but grateful for you as well. I want today, a week in front of Thanksgiving, to turn up the volume on our gratitude. Psalm 118, if you've not found it already, is the place where I believe that God would just increase our thanksgiving. Now, you'll notice the Psalm 118 is a chapter away from the largest and fattest of all chapters in our Bible. But it's also a chapter away from the skinniest and the shortest of all chapters of our Bible, so find your way right in the middle there. A week from today, international students, Americans, will celebrate one of our most beloved holidays. We love this holiday because it really is a stress-free holiday. It doesn't require the decorations or the gift buying that the holiday shortly thereafter, Christmas, would require. It just requires a lot of eating and watching football, right? That is a great, great holiday. Whoever came up with that concept, kudos to them. Psalm 118, when it gets in your blood, will help you give thanks both this week and the weeks to come. Now, a little background on Psalm 118. It would have been a psalm connected to the Passover meal. In fact, if you remember, our ancient Jewish friends would have celebrated three feasts every year: Passover, Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles. And Psalm 118 is one of five or six psalms that would have been read or sung or cited through every Passover. In fact, prior to the Passover meal, if you and I were good Jewish boys and girls, fathers and mothers, we would have cited Psalm 113 and 114. And then after the Passover meal, we would have cited Psalm 115, 16, 17, and including 118. Now think about this for just a moment. Parts of Psalm 118 might have been sung or recited by those ancient Jewish slaves in Egypt. Can you imagine? In fact, if you want to go back to see the significance of this, was this the last song that our Savior would have sung prior to his crucifixion? Look with me, beginning in verse 1. We'll just read two verses and read it throughout this morning. Notice the repetition of beginning in verse 1 and in verse 29. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. And then in verse 29, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Say it with me. His faithful love endures forever. I want to give you three reasons today that your heart and your mind would unite together to turn up the volume on your attitude of gratitude. Look with me first. I'm thankful because God stands by me. I am thankful, I hope you are too, that God stands by me. Beginning again in verse 1, the Bible says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Let Israel say, his faithful love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his faithful love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his faithful love endures forever. Now, much of Psalm 118 is parallel. That is, parallel lines to reinforce one another, like a layering effect. On a cold day, you will have multiple layers on. And the repetition here, the repetition is to remind us of to be grateful and have an attitude of thankfulness. In fact, in the first four verses, I want you to notice that one word is repeated over and over again. It's our word hesed or kesed. And please forgive me, Hebrew scholars, for bringing a Kentucky accent for pronouncing Hebrew. But that word, whether you translate it steadfast love, I think someone did a moment ago out of their translation, or faithful love, or even loving kindness. The word is way too rich. The word is way too rich for one word in English to cover all the significance of it. How about this translation? It is a love that will love you when the chips are down. It is a faithful love that will chase you down the back alleys of life. In fact, that word kesed is all over your Bible, but I found it in three locations that really stand out as significance. Exodus chapter 34 and verse 6. Some of you know that story well. It's the time when God shows the back quarters to Moses. And it's there in verse 6 that God reveals himself as this. The Lord is abounding in faithful love. Kesed. Abounding in faithful love and truth. Who knew that God was a hoarder? Who knew that God was a hoarder? That is, the Bible tells us that God hoards, or he is abounding in faithful love. I save a mental image in my mind of a Colorado heavy snowfall where the snow is pushed by a plow to the right and the left of the highway, and it's high above any normal vehicle. God is abounding. He is hoarding steadfast, faithful, loyal love. The second time I see it in the Old Testament is in one of the most familiar refrains to you and I. Psalm 23, David's words. Do you remember how it ends? Surely goodness and mercy, there's our word, translated mercy there. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall what? Dwell in the house of the Lord forever. One more, Psalm 147. The Bible teaches us one more time about this word kesed. It's repeated four times in four verses in Psalm 118. It's there in Psalm 147. The Lord values those who put their hope in his kesed, his faithful love. When you pin your hopes in life to his steadfastness, his mercy, his faithful love, God says he values that. Now, I want you to see, go back into verses 1 through 4 with me again for just a moment, because I want you to see so much what is there, but I want you to see what is not there. Verses 1 through 4, five times you'll find all throughout this psalm, the word thanks is shared, but I want you to notice something carefully. Nowhere in these verses does it say for you to feel thanks. Instead, it says for you to give thanks. Oftentimes, we don't do something until we feel like doing something. But imagine if I did this later today, if I came up to you and I said, hey, why don't you come by my house later today? Because I've got some brisket prepared. Now, some of you have not been in Texas long enough to know that you should be eating brisket. Some of you think that real barbecue is Carolina barbecue or Kansas City barbecue, and that's okay. Your sanctification is yet in development. But if I told you later today you could come by my house and I would give you some of the best barbecue brisket, we've been preparing it for hours. In addition to that, I've got my great-grandfather's special barbecue sauce. At the conclusion of that meal now, and we would eat well if you're at my house, at the conclusion of that meal, would you get up and leave saying nothing? I don't think that would be what happened. In fact, you probably would maybe unbutton a button or two, and you might say something to the fact that you would say, this has been fantastic. I am so grateful for this. See, friend, for so many of us, we don't say thanks until we feel thankful. But the Bible here says if you and I are to be grateful, we are to say it. We are to say it. We are to give thanks. We cannot contain yourself. Now, can I say something to you? Some of you who are in church any and every week, some of you sit in stony silence when men like Danny and Drew and Christian and others are leading our team a moment ago. Your arms are crossed. You think to yourself, if the preacher is good, then I'll begin to be animated, or if the music is good, I'll begin to sing. But my friend, you and I need to join together and feel gratitude, say gratitude. You've got to sing it. You've got to shout it. You can't just feel it. Instead, you've got to sing your attitude. You've got to sing your gratitude. In fact, we might say it this way, as verses 1-4 might. Let young and old say, his faithful love endures forever. Let conservative and liberal say, his faithful love endures forever. Let Republican and Democrat say, his faithful love endures forever. Let the rich and poor say, his faithful love endures forever. Let fathers and mothers and males and females say, what? His faithful love endures forever. Let Calvinists and Arminians say, his faithful love endures forever. And let saints and sinners say, God's faithful love endures forever. Friend, I am thankful that God stands by me. In fact, one more facet about Psalm 118. This psalm would have been cited as they were lining up and going in the temple, one of those great feasts of generations ago. It would have been cited and it would have been sung antiphonally. Now, I've got good news for you today. I've got really good news for you today. I'm not going to sing. All God's people said amen. But these ancient believers would have lined up and they would have antiphonally been citing many of the lines of Psalm 118. A priest would chant one part and the people would respond. You know, real worship is always marked by public praise. Real worship is always marked by public praise. And I'm leery of anyone who calls themselves a Christian but doesn't praise publicly. You see, moles stay underground and bats hide away in caves, but real genuine believers are bold in their praise, public praise of Jesus Christ. And anytime the cool breeze of the Holy Spirit moves through God's people, you're going to see the public praise of the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I are to give thanks today for God's loyal, faithful, steadfast love. His mercy is a loyal mercy. His kindness is a loyal kindness. And his love is a loyal love. The stock market may go down and the stock market may go up. Your mood may go down and your mood may go up. Your grades may be high and your grades may be otherwise. All the time, God's faithful love endures forever. I am thankful that God stands by me. Secondly, I am overwhelmed. I am overwhelmed. God stands with me. Pick up reading now in verse 5, where the psalmist continues, I called to the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and put me in a special, spacious place. The Lord is for me. I will not be afraid. What can a mere mortal do to me? The Lord is my helper. Therefore, I should say, look in triumph on those who hate me. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in humanity. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in nobles. All the nations surrounded me in the name of the Lord. I destroyed them. They surrounded me. Yes, they surrounded me in the name of the Lord. I destroyed them. They surrounded me like bees. They were extinguished like a fire among thorns. In the name of the Lord, I destroyed them. They pushed me hard to make me fall. But the Lord, the Bible continues there in verse 13, helped me. Now pick up reading, continuing with me in verse 14. The Lord is my strength and my song. Isn't that good news? Let's say that together. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. There are shouts of joy and victory in the tents of righteousness. The Lord's right hand performs valiantly. The Lord's right hand is raised. The Lord's right hand performs valiantly. You know what I notice in verses 5-7? That whoever this anonymous writer of the psalm is, likely a king, all this individual can do is talk about God. I wonder if I ever caught you this week, maybe early in the morning or late in the evening, middle of the day. I wonder if I could catch you any time in the week, or if you could catch me, where all that we could do is talk about the goodness of God. All we could do is wax eloquent or uneloquent about how grateful we are to God. Each and every sentence and every syllable, all this man does is talk about God. Friend, you and I talk about weather. We talk about sports. We talk about the Cowboys or some other form of white noise. You talk about your gains, and sometimes you may talk about pains, but I want to know if there's ever a time where you concentrate your conversation about how great and good God is. The psalmist did. He spoke about the goodness of God. He didn't just do it during sunny times. Notice all this talk about the enemies. He says, I'm surrounded by my enemies. Evidently, he's a king or a man in leadership, verses 10 through 12. Here is a man in crisis. In fact, he gives us a profound, powerful picture in verse 12. He says, I'm surrounded by my enemies like a swarm of bees. Most of us can pick up on that picture, can we not? Strikes terror in our hearts as to what would happen there. Yet no matter whether it's one of them or many of them coming after him, they were no match, not for him, they were no match for God. Pick up reading again in verse 13 where it says, they pushed me hard to make me fall, but the Lord helped me. Did you know that the root word of the word thankful is our word thoughtful? The root word of the word thanks is a word think. Thinking always precedes thinking. The idea here is if one thinks about their blessings, that they would be grateful for their blessings. You know what I give thanks for? I give thanks that God's promise. I'm always thankful that God's performance matches his promise. There's never a time when he oversells and underperforms. That'll never happen to God. He would never overhype something to the event in question becomes something of a letdown. Now, Psalm 118, did you know that this was Martin Luther's? This was his favorite psalm. Now, when I say Martin Luther, I'm talking about the original, not the civil rights leader of a generation ago. Martin Luther, Psalm 118, called this the golden psalm because this was a powerful comfort for him during times of great temptation. In fact, it was Psalm 118 he would write a commentary on as he was holed up at the castle of Coburg in 1530 during the Diet of Augsburg. It was feared that if he attended the meeting that he would be arrested. He would be arrested for his teachings and burned as a heretic. His problems would remind him of verse 6, the Lord is for me. I will not be afraid. What can a mere mortal do to me? Again, he says, the Lord is my helper. Verse 7, therefore I will look in triumph on those who hate me. He says, Luther does, when no one else helped him, not kings, not wise men, not even other Christian friends, he could run to Psalm 118 and know that he had a sense of encouragement, that when the furnace of temptation, its temperature rose hot and high, Luther could run to the fresh, cool water of Psalm 118. This is a place when you're thirsty for God's loyal, faithful love, you can come there. I am thankful that God's loyal, dependable, faithful love stands by me because, you know, the truth is he has every right to stand against me. Did you know that? God has every right to stand against me and every right against you. In fact, verse 18, the Lord disciplined me, the psalmist says, not just severely, not just lightly, but severely, but did not give me over to death. I've got good news for you today. No matter what obstacle course your sin puts in front of God, his faithful, loyal love can navigate through any maze, any obstacle course, and he can find his way to you. Give thanks with me that God's loyal love isn't tied to your performance or your obedience. Isn't that good news? The goodness of faithfulness of the steadfast love of God. How grateful should we be? Well, I was surprised to discover that King David, 3,000 years ago, took two guys and he appointed them and had them stand near the Ark of the Covenant in 1 Chronicles chapter 16. These two guys had a full-time job. All they did was to give thanks to the Lord. Why? For his faithful love endures forever. Can you imagine the personnel committee of the local church saying, Pastor David, we were in the worship center Monday about 4 or 5 o'clock and we noticed there were two guys. All they were doing, just standing around, mumbling about how grateful they were. We think there's a greater efficiency of use of funds that could happen there. And Pastor David would say, I got this. Two guys, all they did was speak of the great gratitude of God. I mean, there's a wow, and then there's a double wow. Oh, what a great peace there. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. You missed your cue there. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Yes, praise the Lord, for the Lord is worthy to be praised. I'm grateful. I'm grateful that God stands by me. I'm overwhelmed that God stands with me rather than against me. But third and lastly, I'm grateful. I'm grateful most that God stands for me. Pick up reading now in verse 17, where the psalmist says something really remarkable. He says, I will not die, but I will live and proclaim what the Lord has done. The Lord disciplined me severely, but did not give me over to death. And then he says, open the gates of righteousness for me, and I will enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the Lord's gate. The righteous will enter through it. I will give thanks to you because you've answered me and have become my salvation. See if you've heard this one before. Verse 22, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This came from the Lord, and it is wondrous in our sight. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, save us. Lord, please grant us success. He who comes in the name of the Lord is blessed. From the house of the Lord, we bless you. The Lord is God and has given us light. He culminates this, coming around the back stretch. Bind the festival sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give you thanks. You are my God, I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. We're almost done here, but I want you to know something intentional by the psalmist. What he does is a model for what you do. His praise functions as an escalator. His praise functions as an escalator. If your gratitude is low and you need your gratitude to graduate, look what he does here. His praise of God, his exaltation of God, his stopping and thinking, being thoughtful, leading to thankfulness, it acts as an escalator. And friend, it'll take you to the top floor. Gratitude is an elevator that will take you to the penthouse of joy, even in front of a finals week. I like what St. Vincent de Paul has rightly said. We should spend as much time in thanking God for his benefits as we do in asking him for them. You see, there's a snowball effect that can happen. When we begin to stop and think about one blessing, one would lead to two, and two would lead to three. And shortly thereafter, we give up arithmetic, we give up addition, and we move to multiplication. And then shortly thereafter, we move to multipliers, 2 to 4 to 6 to 8, the snowball effect. And once you begin naming all the good things that Lord has done and his remarkable love for you, soon the escalator will take you to the penthouse of joy and happiness. I like what he says here. It's no idle boast there. The psalmist says that I will not die, but I will live and proclaim what the Lord has done for me. Now, I know that I'm in a seminary and I'm with students who know the Lord Jesus Christ, many of you in faculty. Many of you are far ahead of following Christ than I am, but I want to ask you a question. Have you ever thought about your death? Have you ever thought about what's after this life? I found it intriguing that William Shatner of Star Trek fame, has thought about death. In the Philadelphia Inquirer of 2004, shortly thereafter the legendary actor Marlon Brando died, it was Shatner who really began to think about death. His quote in the Inquirer that day, he said, and I quote, I'm not so ready to die. It petrifies me. I go alone, Shatner continued. I go to a place I don't know. It might be the end. My thought is that it is the end. I become nameless, and I've spent a lifetime becoming known, end quote. Isn't that a sad quote? Have you ever thought about what's after this life? In fact, I may ask you a question what I asked of a young soldier just a little more than a week ago. If you're to stand before Jesus Christ and Jesus were to say to you, why should I let you into my heaven? What are you going to say on that day? In fact, look what he says in verse 19. This man, this psalmist says confident, he says, open the gates of righteousness. Open the gates of heaven for me. On that day, whatever those gates might look like, whoever meets it at those gates, what are you thinking about what you might do on that day? Most people I've talked to in North America, Southeast Asia, no matter their race, no matter their class, no matter their ethnicity, most people think that they're going to take their resume and hand it over to an angel or Peter or Jesus himself and say, look at this. Look at my list of accomplishments. Look at my resume. Because that's how America works, right? You've got to put together a resume. You've got to get a job, we tell young people. They think that they're going to hand their resume over, and that resume is going to function. It's going to be a pry bar to open those gates of righteousness on that day. But friend, you're not calculating this correctly. You don't need to hand your resume over. There's another resume that's likely close at hand. Put your resume down. Put your resume down like I'm putting my resume down and hand over a different resume. Hand over the list of accomplishments of Jesus Christ. Join with me in saying, of all of God's people, my list of accomplishments, my good works, my morality, all the goodness and religious performance I can muster wouldn't qualify me for one nanosecond inside those gates of righteousness, verse 19. But I tell you what would qualify me. That's why I give thanks. I'm going to hand you a resume. I'm going to hand you a list of accomplishments of one who did not think sin, one who did not do sin. I'm going to hand you an accomplishment of one who was rejected so I could be accepted. In fact, Peter, the man who turned his back on Jesus, one of the very first times he ever stood before an assembly of believers and non-believers, he turns to Psalm 118. He turns to the very psalm in question, and he begins preaching something like this as recorded in Acts chapter 4, verse 11. He says, this Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders. Oh, the courage of that man, Peter. He used to not have courage, but he did on that day. It's rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name given among men by which we must be saved. Friend, Jesus is the one who was rejected so that you and I could be accepted. Put your resume down and pick up one whose resume was rejected as the cornerstone. But it is the key, the critical key of getting you inside those gates. Oh, the difference in it. The difference. You go from, I'm not sure I'll get in, to all the confidence and the boldness. No wonder Psalm 118 says thanks five times. No wonder verse 19 says he's thankful for an open gate. He's confident the gate will open. No wonder in verse 21 he says, I am thankful that the Lord has become my salvation. Well, we're almost done, but let me park it right here. If you really want to see God, if you really want to see God, you don't go see a beautiful sunset. If you really want to sense the presence of God, you don't go sit on the beach. If you want to enjoy the presence of God, you don't even go to the majestic peaks of the Himalayas. No, none of those things are the place where you'll find the greatness, concentration of Almighty God. If you want to sense the presence of God, then you need to go see a man hanging on a bloody cross. For that is the rich concentration of God's love. You know, Thanksgiving that we'll celebrate a week from today first was brought together in official proclamation 1789. Our first president, George Washington, proclaimed the 26th day of November as the day of Thanksgiving. It wasn't until Abraham Lincoln in 1863 proclaimed the whole American people to observe a special day of Thanksgiving on the last Thursday of November of every year. But you and I don't have to wait till November to be thankful. If we have the gratitude of Psalm 118 in our bloodstream, we don't have to wait until a week where turkey is served. In fact, this dependable love we've been speaking about, when God parted the Red Sea, God's love was dependable. When King David reigned over Israel, God's love was dependable. When the Battle of Hastings was fought, God's love was dependable. When the Declaration of Independence was signed, God's love was dependable. When the Allied forces defeated the Axis forces on the invasion of D-Day, God's love was dependable. And when terrorists flew planes in the World Trade Center, God's love was dependable. When I was born, His love was dependable. And when I die, His love is dependable. You can depend on the loyal, steadfast, faithful love of the Lord. Let's pray together. Let's pray together. Father, we have an infinite number of reasons to be thankful for You and Your many gifts. We're overwhelmed by the faithful and steady love and mercy and kindness You've shown us. Your mercy has followed us around, and You're so good to us, Lord. And now we look forward as believers in Christ to the day in which You open up the very gates of righteousness, the gates of heaven, to take us where You are. Between now and then, Father, we pray that our gratitude would increase in every faithful act of obedience that Your grace propels and compels us into. We depend on You now and forevermore. And we pray in the same name that the Apostle Peter did, in the name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen.